Okay, it's time to talk wheels. It's the Car Guy Show with automotive consumer tips, industry updates, interviews, and enthusiast news. If you care about cars, this show's for you. Now you're tuned in, so let's get tuned up with your host. Here he is, Steve Ford, the Car Guy.
Hello and welcome to another segment of the Car Guy Show here, coming at you from the broadcast tower of News Talk 990 KTMS and at the speed of light on the World Wide Web. We're connecting you to automotive consumer and enthusiast news, insights, and interviews anywhere you're hearing our signal in Santa Barbara and the surrounding communities. In today's program, the topic we're going to put up on the lift is a look toward the evolving technology that strives toward green engineering that is shrinking the carbon footprint of the automobile. It's amazing to think that the idea of what would appear to be golf carts back in the 80s and 90s of EVs, electric vehicles, was always the joke that people thought, are we going to be driving around in these little things that are good to go to the grocery store in, or will one day we have vehicles that are really mainstream? And our upcoming guest is an expert in this area of EVs and alternative energy and transportation. Michael Coates is a senior editor at Clean Fleet Report and an internationally recognized expert in the field of automotive environmental issues. He's been an automotive editor and writer for more than three decades, and his media experience includes Peterson Publishing, now part of Source Interlink, and Green Car Journal, trade magazines, newspaper, and television news reporting, and he currently serves on the board of the Western Automotive Journalists. And Michael and I have known each other for a number of decades through the automotive media, and it's my pleasure to welcome Michael Coates to the Car Guy Show. Michael, it's good to have you on board.
And it's great to be here, Steve.
You know, we've known each other since we were both driving hydrocarbon-powered vehicles only. I kidded you a few weeks back when we talked on the phone. I said, I remember when I lived in Santa Monica, and I saw you driving down Wilshire Boulevard in some hot GM experimental vehicle with a loud, hot engine in it. And I know that wasn't an EV. Back then, you were actually working with the manufacturers, and you've been on both sides of the fence, essentially. You've been on the marketing side for automotive manufacturers, and then you've been, I think primarily, I'd say, most of your career a journalist. We're moving into what is a recent article that you wrote. It's online on Clean Fleet Report. So you're monitoring what's happening on the front line. And I want to tell folks, the interesting thing about this topic that we're going to move into is you wrote about the top 10 electric cars you can buy finally here in 2013. And you point out in your article that the milestone here is that you can not only buy these 10, but apparently, as you might expand on, for folks out there that might appreciate, we'll go through the names of some of these models that are out in the marketplace. It used to be there were one or two models. You know, 10 years ago, it was kind of a novelty to see a manufacturer come out with an electric vehicle. Now people know, for example, the Nissan Leaf, the recent Tesla and Model S. People watching that, people being curious. The Prius and the Honda Insight, I should say the Toyota Prius and the Honda Insight, have drawn attention to mainstream international manufacturers that have made these commitments. Michael, are you amazed, or are you kind of nonplussed by looking out and saying, well, there are 10 of them. Some of these are just out this year for the first time. Take us into the topic of the top 10 electric cars. Why is this fun for you to write? EVs, they're here.
Steve, it is amazing. And I actually surprised myself. I love drawing up top 10 lists. It's just a great way to kind of categorize things.
Yeah.
Pull information together.
Yeah.
And I actually was, as I started going down, there was a couple new EVs that were being introduced, and it actually surprised me because I didn't realize that we were at that stage where it's 10 major manufacturers that have electric vehicles in their showroom. And again, these are pure EVs. These are not plug-in hybrids like the Chevy Volt or the Toyota Prius plug-in,
right?
Which are great cars,
right?
But these pure electrics are
absolutely
kind of in a class by themselves.
Sure.
And the industry has come full circle. 100 years ago, electric vehicles were relatively common. About a third of the cars sold
in 1913. Yeah.
Were electric vehicles.
Sure.
And another third gasoline, another third steam-powered.
Sure.
So, there's a real competition among technologies.
Yeah.
And I think that's the era that we're now coming back to.
The 1900s, 1901, 1902, 1903, and into the 1908, 1910, 1912, you have the advent of mass production and the vehicle going in, still in the cities. And I know, Michael, you know exactly where I'm going. When you have people pretty much driving the automobile as a novelty, sort of an amusement. You had really sort of downtown, and people who had a lot of money got these gadgets and things first, and the car was one of them back in the early 1900s. And Michael, we talked a number of weeks back about this, that by 1910, 1915, you had the battle lines being drawn between the gasoline-powered internal combustion engine vehicles, that one-third, and then you had that other third at one point around 1911, 1912, 1913 of the electric vehicles. And you had the expansion of roadways beyond the city that were paved and being improved, and people wanting to have the same challenge 100 years ago. They wanted, what range can we have in an automobile? And the gasoline-powered internal combustion engine prevailed, inevitably, for the same reason we're challenged here 100 years later, which is the range. The race has been reset, and that's where we sit right now. Is that fair to say?
I think that's a great characterization of it, Steve.
How are we going to break through the battery?
It does. It comes back to the same thing manufacturers were faced with 100 years ago.
That's crazy.
That battery is it's big, heavy, and expensive.
Yeah. It stood still for many decades. People didn't care about EVs. They were golf carts. I'm going to burn through these to give you the whole list of 10 real quick so I can plug this in and have people know. You know what? If you're standing by and you're thinking, you heard 10, Michael Coates is going to hit 10. Before you get off the show, you'll hear all of them. Let's hit them real fast. Tesla Model S, brand new, coming into 2013. Pretty exciting. A lot of positive reviews. Number two on your list is the Nissan Leaf, which a lot of people know about, the pure EV. The Ford Focus EV, Ford's leading electric-only model. The Toyota RAV4 EV, you allude to the fact that was actually sort of previewed in the 97 to 2003 model when they were limited in California. In fifth position, Mitsubishi, the Mitsubishi iMiEV. Number six position is Honda Fit EV. Seventh is the BMW Active E. Eighth is the Smart Fortwo ED. The Fiat 500e, why not? Hey, Guido, you know, right? Driving around in an EV. 500e is ninth. And tenth is the Chevy Spark EV, which I want to come back to because it sounds like that could be the hot rod of the lineup in the future. Am I on to something there?
Absolutely.
So then, Michael, as we go through this, and I'd like to take us out to a break so we can continue this list. When we come back, we'll give them some insights about a little more detail on these cars on this list. Is that good for you?
That sounds great.
All right, folks, we are going to return to talk about this top 10 EV list, talking with Michael Coates here on the Car Guy Show on News Talk 990 KTMS. When we come back, we'll pick up on the top 10 with our expert Michael Coates and take you through to understand just what are these 10 EV vehicles that are available right now for you to buy as this list will expand into the years ahead. What can you get today if you wanted to drive an EV?
May I help you?
Yeah, you stock serpentine belts?
Serpentine? What do you have, a snake under your hood? Parts counter, what's up?
Yeah, I need pads and rotors for an 02 Ford Mustang.
Pads and a distributor rotor? You mean pads and drums?
No, pads and rotors. I think I'll try a few more calls.
Larry's Auto Parts, Phil.
I'm looking for pads and front rotors for an 02 Mustang.
Okay, we stocked the pads. What's your concern on the rotors?
Sounds like the pads have just hit metal.
Well, bring them in and let's measure them. There's a good chance we can machine them for a fresh surface and save you money, too.
Well, yeah. Hey, what about windshield wipers?
Well, we stock wipers and we offer free installation. And in most cases, just the refills without buying the entire blade.
More than auto parts, more than service. Along with a national CarQuest brand. Expertise you experience every visit. Larry's 8-Day Auto Parts, Old Town, Goleta, 964-3545. That's 964-3545.
I'm Larry's Auto Parts owner, Phil Unander. Our team is here to be your solution.
Change a life in a big way.
Everybody needs a big brother or a big sister. And Ben, he plays football with me and we like to do things with it. He's my best friend. Whenever he comes over to my house, he feels like he's a part of my family. I feel like I'm a part of his family too.
Volunteer or donate to Big Brothers Big Sisters. We need bigs, especially men. Start something. If you're a former big, start something again at bigbrothersbigsisters.org.
When it comes to keeping your wheels looking like new, the majority of auto glass businesses have state-of-the-art tools and equipment. What is harder to find are the industry-certified craftspeople and the highest levels of service. Tri-County Auto Glass. Rock chip repairs or glass replacement with lifetime repair credit, a positive word-of-mouth reputation may bring you in. Courtesy, quality, and that new window glass shine will bring you back. Tri-County Auto Glass, downtown Santa Barbara, 963-6200. That's 963-6200.
In the old-time movies, you used to see an automobile junkyard as a place with rusty old wrecks and big cranes scrapping obsolete machines. Those days were black and white, and today's a world of digital full color. And in the new era of the green car, Steelhead Auto Recycling is at the leading edge of used auto parts. As new and future cars approach 100% recyclability, more than 70% of even older car and truck parts find new life as they come back in service at Steelhead Auto Recyclers, which means huge savings for you. You'll save on major parts such as engines and transmissions, but you can also repair and refresh your wheels with money-saving body trim and accessory parts from hubcaps to glass, doors, fenders, taillights, and accessories. With a full-service counter and national parts search power and the new self-service section at Steelhead Auto Recycling, you'll save both ways. Plus the security of a full 90-day warranty on all parts. Digital on the web at buyused.net or analog by phone at 683-8557. That's 683-8557. Steelhead Auto Recycling.
Hey, you know about getting the job done right. If you want it done right, do it yourself. Well, that's what car and truck buffs, owners of classics, custom cars, and wise consumers know when they visit Daily Car Bath, Santa Barbara's downtown coin-operated car wash supercenter for more than 40 years. After discovering Daily Car Bath for my own cars, I've returned to give my machines the superior wash and cleaning care that all car buffs appreciate. At Daily Car Bath, you'll find premium hog's hair wash brushes with conditioned soft water and five stalls with foaming high-sudsing auto shampoo that literally floats debris off your vehicle's finish, along with consistent high-pressure washing and available non-acid low-pressure wheel and tire cleaner. And for that special finish, DINI spot-free rinse to help dissolve and eliminate mineral spot and spray wax formulated with clear coat protectant included in the cycle. See why Daily Car Bath is known as the place where customers send their friends. And take it from a fellow car buff. When it comes to the best in car care appearance, you'll find it all at Daily Car Bath, open 24 hours a day at the corner of Anna Kappa and Coda Streets. Quality, economy, and that showroom shine.
And we are back, and we're talking with Michael Coates, who is an expert in the world of EVs, and he's writing for a number of different publications, but primarily right now for Clean Fleet Report. He's an internationally recognized expert in the field of automotive environmental issues, and we're going through the top 10 electric cars that you can buy, finally, an article that Michael's written, and we'll pick up right there as we go into the rest of the list, Michael. Michael, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure, Steve.
As we go forward, it's just good to recap a little bit of the detail. We can't go into a lot on each one of these vehicles. The Tesla Model S is first on your list, and I found that interesting because you say in the second position is Nissan Leaf. You said one could make a good argument that this car should be first, and then you go on to say it was the first mass-produced EV in the market and streams into 2013 with both a lowered starting price as well as new high-end features. Why didn't you have Nissan Leaf at the top? Why is Tesla Model S your first?
The Tesla Model S I put in the top position because, on one hand, it's getting the accolades from all the publications, acknowledged in the automotive world, Consumer Reports.
It's popular.
To the rest of them as being one of the best cars out there, whether sure. or not it's not just because it's an electric, but just because it's a great car. And also, its sales have been fairly phenomenal. It's been leading other electric cars in sales, even though it's significantly more expensive. Price point for the Model S starts at about $70,000. Most of the ones that they're selling right now are $80,000 to $100,000.
The public is not walking out with $70,000 to buy an EV. The Tesla is still a sort of a premium level EV. Fair to say?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's definitely the high end. But the good news is it is the poster child. That is how good an electric car can be.
Yes. Okay.
Good on the same criteria that Consumer Reports and Motor Trend use to name it the best car they've
yeah.
seen.
Let me see if I've got it. The impression I have of the Tesla Model S, Michael, is that what really we're saying indirectly is the reason it's exciting and worth looking at in particular is that if it were not $70,000, it'd probably be the closest answer to somebody being able to go out of a traditional conventional vehicle today that has a V8 or a V6 and climb into an EV that has that almost the same characteristics, and they would love it. It's quiet, it's clean, and it just doesn't have the affordability yet. If it were 25 or 30,000, they probably couldn't keep them in the showroom. Nissan Leaf is back then into the, it's not the hot performer necessarily, but it's practical. Talk about the Nissan Leaf as your second EV.
Nissan Leaf is, in a sense, is an electric vehicle that's really proven itself. It's now been out there for a couple of years. I just had a chance to drive, and they bumped up the ranges a little.
That's a pretty good all-around vehicle, then. It's kind of endured. What are the limitations of the Leaf? Anything that you'd say is a reservation still?
Yeah, I mean, the main thing is it embodies the biggest hurdle for an electric vehicle, which is that you really have to look at your lifestyle before you sign on for one of these vehicles.
Approximate range of the Leaf?
Range is like 75 to 80 miles.
Okay. So we're hitting you head on with the challenge there.
Basically around town vehicles.
Okay, so Ford Focus EV is in third position. Ford's leading electric-only model. Hit that one.
Yeah, very well-executed car. Looks good. Built on the same assembly line as the other Ford Focus models.
Yeah.
So it's good quality and excellent car.
Do you want to hit range on that or any of these others as we go?
What I think you'll see is that other than the Tesla, the range of most EVs is approximately a little bit under 100 miles.
So we need to accept that the top 10 list is great EVs, but they're all limited with the exception of the Tesla and 70 grand. Toyota, right. Now third, Toyota RAV4 EV. There's a pretty proven platform.
The RAV4 EV is an interesting model because it's got a little, the secret sauce in it is it's got a Tesla battery pack.
Yeah.
And motor. So it's a collaboration between Tesla and Toyota.
In a way, then,
that's how they got it on the market.
Right, kind of making a little Tesla technology affordable to the mainstream. Or more affordable.
Yeah, more affordable. Still an expensive vehicle.
The Tesla technology, why is it worth it for Toyota? Tesla's got to have some unique patented features. Anything
right.
you can spotlight on that?
Well, the Tesla brings is their knowledge of battery management. Absolutely.
That's where Tesla has it.
Tesla's got a lot of...
All right, Toyota RAV4, we just hit that EV. You noted also in your article, you pointed out that the 1997 to 2003 model, there were several hundred produced and sold in California to meet the state's zero emission vehicle mandate. That kind of argues for some proven technology there for the RAV4 EV if you want to buy something mainstream today.
Even though some of those old RAV4s are still running around, it's a completely different battery technology in addition to being a completely different car.
Well, now, thank you. I appreciate why you'd say that.
Yeah.
But I'm not thinking it's the exact same platform. I'm thinking
right.
Toyota has been working with battery-powered electric vehicle propulsion for quite a while in pushing through to be able to get learned lessons that they can apply.
And absolutely. Toyota brings a lot of their knowledge from working on their hybrid systems with electric motors is profound.
And, sure. I mean, when hydrogen goes mainstream, every company that's building a hybrid right now has then a jump start because of the number of years, for example, Honda Insight or Toyota Prius, having so many platforms out there with EV power, even if it's been in complement with a hybrid internal combustion engine, the idea that they've been running EVs means they've been dealing with power management, manufacturing, incorporating EV technology. Is that a fair statement? You know, they've got some experience.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. All of these technologies work together at this point.
And yeah.
All the manufacturers, as you can see, the fact that we can pull up a list of 10 different EVs.
Yeah, it's exciting.
It shows how
far it's come.
Deeply focused all the automakers are.
Absolutely. Now then we go to the Mitsubishi I, or IMIEV, this diminutive EV from Mitsubishi, you note. It lags behind the competition. Why is that? Mitsubishi's got some advanced technology always.
And they've been a real leader in electric vehicles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think
marketing?
This is more a marketing question. What they've done is they've brought a Japanese vehicle to the U.S.
Right.
And they've modified it some, but it's still essentially a Japanese vehicle, which may or may not fit with the market here quite as well.
The design, the execution of it.
Okay. Part of it's design, part of it's just the size of
it. Yeah. And then you've got the Honda Fit EV. Now, that's one that's been marketed. That's been pushed pretty hard. It's only available for lease. Any thoughts on that Honda Fit EV and where it positions?
Well, let's lump the Honda Fit and the BMW Active EV together, discussing about this, because they both have the same approach.
They're both leased vehicles, too.
Both lease-only vehicles.
Yeah.
Part of that is, again, in the automaker's view, this electric technology is relatively new for mass-produced vehicles. So both of these manufacturers are hedging their bets somewhat and saying, we think we've got a great vehicle here, but just in case, we're going to take it back at the end of the lease.
Okay. So where do you go with the Honda Fit and BMW Active E in the marketplace? The buyer, anything about where they're positioned as far as beyond the lease? I mean, I'm thinking the Honda Fit EV has a youth appeal. It's a hip car, Honda Fit. It's got styling. It's kind of zesty.
Yeah, the Honda Fit's got a real skews definitely towards younger folks. Skews towards folks who are Honda buyers. There's a huge number of Honda buyers. Same, Toyota's got the same issue.
Yeah.
A loyal public that's looking for something new.
It's kind of being a hip EV, it fits in there pretty well, and Honda's got the credibility. The Active E from BMW staking a claim into the EV territory, not a huge commitment, but one that's kind of expanding for the dealers to introduce that.
Absolutely. BMW is getting their dealers ready to sell the next electric vehicle, which will come on next year, which is called the i3.
Right.
And that one it's got a carbon fiber frame.
Yeah.
It's incredibly advanced.
Yeah.
They're saying now they're going to sell it at the same price point as the 3 Series. So, they're clearly serious about marketing those vehicles.
Okay.
The powertrain, and again, this is a look inside at the way the auto industry works.
Yeah.
The powertrain for that i3 is in the Active E.
Okay.
So they're testing the powertrain in the models, and that's part of why they're only leasing them, because they want them back to see what happened with these cars after, X thousand.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. And then you got in the eighth position, you have the Smart for 2 ED from Mercedes-Benz, and they previously said, you have it here, that they previously had the Tesla battery pack, that's like Toyota was using, manufacturer sharing technology here. The Mercedes-Benz had the Tesla battery pack in their Smart for 2 ED, now they have their own SB Li-Motive or Li-Motive. How's that pronounced?
Li-Motive. It's a joint venture, although it's since been kind of juggled around a little bit, between Samsung out of Korea and Robert Bosch, which is one of the big automotive suppliers in Germany, building battery packs. Smart, again, kind of reinforcing the fact that the auto industry, automakers are really focused on this technology. This Smart is the third generation that they've put out. So they've improved and gotten better.
Limitation is the EV back. Holding it back, this EV from Mercedes-Benz, the Smart for 2 ED, is its small size and limited seating. That's an eighth position, so that may be a factor for that issue.
Right, in the same way that the Smart, the gasoline Smart, is a limited vehicle.
So it's
a great little pack, great city car.
Yeah.
Great little car.
All these are, I guess, you can't really you can't single it out as a great city. Mm-hmm. That's all these are all intended to be, except the Tesla. In the ninth position, you've got the Fiat 500e, just in the market from Europe, this EV from Fiat. How's that fit? That's kind of like the Smart. It's a tiny vehicle, right?
Absolutely. It's small, but the theme you're seeing here is the smaller vehicle is more adapted to a battery pack. You can get more range with a smaller battery pack, and it just works. It fits the economics of it, and everything fit pretty well.
Yeah, and then in 10th position, 10th and last, you have the Chevy Spark EV, and you note it's a Daewoo design model. What's the history there? You know, a Daewoo design working with GM, these complement partnerships.
Right, Daewoo does a lot of GM smaller cars, and of course there's the gasoline version of the Spark out there, it's been doing fairly well in the marketplace.
Yeah.
And again, the logical thing is you take your smallest car, put a, you know, battery pack in it, and you're going to get the best results. This, they've the early reports on this one are pretty off the charts. They,
by what measurement?
They're claiming that they are pulling 400 pound-feet of torque out of this electric motor, which, as you know, as a car guy,
yeah,
that's a
that's more than that's motor. More than an old Corvette, probably,
yeah,
in the 70s.
That's,
you know,
that's in this really small little Ford.
Well, and so that's why when you noted in there, it delivers substantial power with 400 foot-pounds of torque, or pounds-feet, as the new way of engineering phraseology goes. Regardless of what you call it, at 400 pounds of torque, it is going to break the tires loose and sail that car in 3.5 or 4 seconds or 5 seconds at that weight of a vehicle. So
right.
That's why I think the Chevy Spark EV kind of reminds me that, Michael, as we sort of wind down here on this top 10 EV list, it also points to the performance set. A Ferrari EV or a Lamborghini or Maserati are coming down the road, no pun intended, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So what I'm wondering is will Ferrari have to have sound effects for those that to replace that 12-cylinder Symphony? You know,
I think some owners would demand it. It's the sound is an interesting factor. You know that they're actually legislating that some of the electric vehicles, because they're so quiet,
yeah,
need to have some kind of way of warning.
Oh, I've been reading
pedestrians.
That's right.
And which, you know, in a normal car you would hear the engine.
Yeah.
But now they're adding. I think most of the automakers have already put those in.
Well, I know, and I know this. I'm all for the EV, and I love the idea of working with the environment. But I don't want to have my EV just be something like these service trucks backing up with a beep 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 sound when I'm backing up. I want to have a revving engine. I don't care if it's a Harley Davidson sound, you know, coming off of a speaker. I just want it to sound like it's a vehicle, not a utilitarian appliance.
Right,
Michael.
Right.
One question as we wrap up here.
Sure.
I just want to ask you. There's controversy right now about whether you have a disposable battery coming out of one of these vehicles or recycling. Where's that at right now? Folks must wonder. You know, we're concerned about the replacement cost of the battery. That's another topic. Environmental compatibility. What's the ratio of fully recyclable batteries coming out of these EVs versus any that cannot be recycled?
Well, there's two answers to that, Steve. One is that virtually all batteries are recyclable.
Yeah.
Some of the technology with some of the newer configurations of batteries is just coming on stream.
Yeah.
But the second part of that, there's another answer to that, which I think is even more significant, particularly from an environmental standpoint.
Right.
When that battery is down to 80% of its original state of charge, it's basically no longer good for a car. A car takes a lot of battery power to just to get it from a cold start. So at that point, when it's down to 80%, those batteries are going to be leaving the automotive arena, but they still have plenty of power, and there are already there are a couple deals out there already where they're going to be placed in service for like telecommunications backups. There's a lot of different places where those batteries can be put to use, so they will have a long life.
So, would you say that automotive EV batteries are ultimately 100% going back through the cycle? They will not be put in dumps?
Yeah, I don't think you'll see any of them going into landfills or anything like that.
Okay.
At least not intentionally. Obviously, there's exceptions, but yeah, the intent is that those every EV battery will have a full useful life as an automotive battery, then as for its secondary use, and then it will be recycled.
Okay. Michael, it's great to be able to get with someone who's there with your finger on the pulse, and people could do some research on their own and find these 10 vehicles, but you like doing these 10 of anything lists, and you've got other things on your website. You are with cleanfleetreport.com.
Correct.
And if folks want to go to cleanfleetreport.com, they can see a number of other articles, including your Nissan. It's Ghosn, right? Ghosn.
Yep. Carlos Ghosn.
Yeah, Carlos Ghosn of Nissan. He's best bets on electric cars winning on emotion. That's quite a bet. And then you've got the 10 best green cars on your new list. So that would be EVs or any other type of propulsion, natural gas or what have you.
Right.
Okay.
That's a broader list.
Yeah, and we've got to come back and hit that topic just in general. You know, you move beyond EVs. It's not the only propulsion beyond gasoline power. You got EVs, you got gas, natural gas, you have propane, you have, what, hydrogen coming down the pike. So very exciting topic. Michael Coates, thanks so much from cleanfleetreport.com. Appreciate your time being with us in the show.
My pleasure, Steve.
And thank you all for joining us for this segment on the World of Wheels. And this brings us to the close of another visit with all of you here on the Car Guys Show. Join us here again next week for another segment from the Coastal Riviera right here in Santa Barbara on News Talk 990 KTMS and video travels at thecarguy.com. Keeping you car wise, I'm Steve Ford, the Car Guy.